The minute Willie Joe picked up the round iron thingy on the ground and said it was an air conditioner clutch from a car, the piles of junk around Dad's acreage suddenly made more sense. It had all been a part of something at one time. Since my parents' death, I have looked at everything they left behind with total dismay. Besides the scrap iron on the ground, there were the sheds, shelters, campers, and trailers to clean out. Who in the world would save every used air filter, put him back in the original box, of every car they ever owned? Who in the world would save every rusted nut, bolt, nail, and hundreds of tin cans for some unknown emergency? Well, depression kids might. Ones like my dad, who rode boxcars looking for work as a teenager, or my mother, who had two dresses to her name to wear to school. My middle-class certainties can't relate to such stories. After Dad got out of the Army, he studied mightily and worked on experimental aircraft for Boeing. Decent wages meant ballet lessons and braces for this daughter who wonders now how she will ever get this place cleaned up, this place outside of Hatch they call the Funny Farm. Mom and Dad were always taking in the wounded at Funny Farm, those in desperate circumstances or just plain misfits, hence the campers and one small dilapidated trailer that seems to look back at me now as if embarrassed to be found empty of life, but trying to do its best to stand up straight for inspection. Dad pretended that the crabby old former FBI agent who died in that broken-down trailer was his security guard. But any hard luck story seemed to move him to the point that my sisters and I worried about our elderly parents. We saw them as innocent. That is so silly looking back. Depression kids could probably smell a grifter a mile away. None of the people who lived there stole from them, and many of them joined them at their table. I made enough soup to keep a small restaurant going. They helped by watering the pecan trees or chopping weeds. If anything, they just left more junk behind when they moved on. Today it was easy to pull tumbleweeds, hard to see Mom and Dad's dead century plants join the burn pile. I let Manny, a friend and former caretaker, take over the burn pile when I saw the sentry plants going up in smoke, sought refuge under the pecan trees as I watched Manny and listened to the deep-throated bugle of a sandhill crane. The Mohawk trees with their paper shell pecans dropped blossoms and all into the snow this year, but I can peel the pecans off the English briquette and its little round buttery nut inside is still good. On bended knee under the English briquette, it seemed the right place to peel back the layers of thought with the blossoms, grieving over my parents, overwhelmed at all they left behind, but overjoyed my paintings and poems in one shed were saved in a box Mom had labeled my treasures. They saved everything because everything was a part of their lives. They just treasured more, some more than others, and my things were treasured. It is our quiet moments, often on bended knee, that let us feel how easily grief and joy can trade places. They are both intense and passionate. They are the dance of life. This is Claudette Ortiz on the Age Spot.